Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
Donna's like, people still do sideshows. Girl.
What's so interesting is that there's a name for whatever that is, which, anyway. There is also a name for whatever this is. How about that segue? There is a name for whatever this is. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to, and here's the name, Make Me Smart, trying as best we can to make the day make sense.
We're back. I'm Molly Wood. We are back. It's so exciting. We're delighted to be back. And I have to say that on my walk today, I was listening to last week's episodes, and I'm halfway through the week, and they're so good. Thank you to Kimberly Adams, Megan McCarty-Carino, Andy Euler, Scott Tong for stepping in while we were on spring break. I learned so much from the immigration episode that they did on Tuesday. I mean, like, I was made smart by our show that we're usually on. It was a great experience. It was so good.
I'll say it. I don't listen to shows that I host when I'm not hosting them. You do?
So I don't always, but I kept seeing so many nice notes about it. And then I was kind of curious because usually, like, if we're off Make Me Smart, like, you're on, and then I don't care because, like, I know what you sound like. No offense.
Love you.
But I was doing my, you know, civic duty as an employee. And I always listen to tech because it's not very hard to listen to because it's pretty short. So if it's like a week.
Okay.
Also, honestly, I need to know what they talked about so I don't screw it up and do it all over again.
Oh, well, that's what producers are for. They're there to save you from yourself. Or you say, I've got a great idea. And they say, you moron, we did that while you were out.
They're like, yeah, that already happened. But I might have brought up the cicadas that Megan talked about on Monday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, plus I loved it when she said, we are all cicadas right now in 2021.
Right now, we
climbing out
are.
Of our little caves. This is a really good show.
That's true.
Yep.
Good. All right.
Yep.
Well, let's keep it up. Let's not blow it, you and me, whose actual jobs this is, as opposed to the people who are doing it, you know, for extra. The way it works is we do a little news, we do a little Make Me Smile, and then in something at or about 15 minutes, we send you on your merry way. So I noticed three links for you on the news item in the rundown, so have at it, Molly.
Also, literally, I just want you to know I had to physically restrain myself from putting more in here about inflation because there's like the thing coming out tomorrow and the Council of Economic Advisors was tweeting about it, and I was like, I want to ask Kai about this, but I am going to attempt to stay on target with my only two stories, just three links. Technically a follow-up.
I'm just mumbling.
Because I've been talking about Ant Group and Alibaba and how the Chinese government is saying that they're going to crack down on big tech companies and do this big antitrust move. But also Jack Ma essentially went missing for like 3 months and no one really knows why. And it was after the IPO for Ant Group was canceled. And then now he has since reemerged. You know, the IPO remained canceled. Ant Group, if you're not familiar, is a fintech, financial tech company, and its best known product is Alibaba, which is a mobile payments company. It's like a do-it-all payments operation. And so now Ant Group will not go public. Instead, it will apply to become a financial holding company overseen by China's central bank, overhauling completely its business. It's, I should parenthetical here, very very profitable business. When that IPO was canceled, it was expected to have been like the largest IPO ever. But now they're just going to undertake a, quote, comprehensive, viable rectification plan and come under, I mean.
I love that rectification plan. What could possibly go wrong?
So, like, sometimes we complain about how Congress isn't acting that much and they're not, you know, regulating tech and whatever. China canceled what would have been the world's largest IPO and is now taking this big financial tech company and folding it right in underneath its watchful eye, retooling its business model completely, and we should say getting rid of a really big threat to both China's financial system, because people were saying like Ant was starting to represent in many ways a legitimate threat to the way that the Chinese central bank did business. It was like an alternative. It was like the Bitcoin in some ways, right? Yeah. An alternative payments empire that had a ton of data on its users, a ton of tech, and an increasing political power just as a result of being such a well-known brand. And I think this is like a really big deal move for China to just be like, nope. Yep.
They're definitely putting their thumb on Jack Ma, for sure.
Big time.
For sure.
That is not how we want regulation of tech companies to go. To be clear. And then the other quick follow-up is that I just happened to see this right before we came on, and I just raise it as a big yikes, which is that apparently California's only wildfire research center, we have one, which I have thoughts about, has discovered basically that the like moisture content in the soil right now is terrible. They've never seen it. They've actually never seen it this low. There is no new growth in the Santa Cruz Mountains, which is, you know, the kind of like green moisture-rich growth that would prevent fire. The overall fuel moisture content, they said, seems to be as low as they've ever seen it. The 2021 winter was the third driest on record. So everybody should just prepare for like me and Kai to be out, because there, and also a lot of other terrible things to happen. There's going to be a lot of fire.
Haul it out, shell of a Monday. Is that where we are? You're killing
me. I'm so sorry.
No, that's all
just
right.
Like, get your home batteries. I'm telling you, so you can prepare. Get your whole home batteries. Get your air purifiers. Yep. Get them now. You know, you probably have a supply of N95 masks. Just like, it is time to get ready. Get your fire safe box. Unbelievable.
So, the amazing part of that. The amazing part of that is that Liana Scarlace is driving this show for the first time today.
For the first time.
And already she's hitting us with the freak. Oh, she probably drove last week, too. I don't know. I wasn't even around. But, Maybe. Oh, man.
You know what? This kid's got potential. Yep. Keep her.
Oh,
Liana,
snap.
Keep her.
Oh, my goodness. That's good.
Well played. Well played, ma'am.
That was awesome. Oh, man.
Okay, Kai, what do you got?
Okay. All right. So I've got one and a half, because your mention of inflation and the CPI and stuff triggered something in me. And I try not to overlap the content between here and Marketplace, but it is a big deal. And I just want to say this about that. So we're going to start getting inflation numbers starting tomorrow. The Consumer Price Index comes out at 8:30 Washington time. Right. And you will see year over year comparisons that will compare right now to a year ago right now. And those comparisons will be skewed and misleading, because a year ago right now, prices were falling off the table as the entire American economy was going south, right? And we have now been in recovery for a year. So when you see in headlines, inflation up 19% year on year, I'm making that number up. I don't know what it is. Read into the story, because that's not the whole truth. And any responsible economic journalist will not put a headline on their story that says inflation up a gazillion percent, okay? Because it's all going to be skewed. That's it. I just want to make sure all y'all know that. That's it.
Narrator.
And I thank you.
Then there were 35 headlines on Tuesday that all said.
Right. Right. Exactly.
But yes.
Exactly.
But thank you.
Yes.
Because it is everywhere. It's a thing.
It is everywhere. And holy cow. Yep. Just don't even. And the Council of Economic Advisors is trying to prepare people, and just so mellow when you see those numbers tomorrow morning. Yeah. Yeah. It was great. Okay. My actual news item is kind of related, actually. And it's this whole, and you've talked about this before, but it's becoming a much more high profile and bigger deal. This semiconductor shortage, meeting today at the White House, 19 CEOs, as well as Brian Deese from the National Economic Council, Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor, and Gina Raimondo from the cabinet, and of course the president, and I think the vice president was there as well, meeting about the semiconductor shortage, which has car factories shut down. It's going to start impacting Internet of Things stuff. It's very, very not good. And the challenge, of course, is that for all of the many trillions of dollars that President Biden wants to spend on infrastructure, virtually all of which we need, semiconductor chips are now infrastructure. The problem, of course, is that we could start spending today and we would still not be up to speed to where we need to be because we don't have a physical plant to build enough of our own semiconductors. And that's a real challenge. And this meeting today, while good press, was not the answer to the problem. And nobody should think that it's solved.
No, not at all. In fact, there was kind of a great Bloomberg setup to this meeting that was like, to be clear, this is likely to mostly just be an airing of grievances where all of these companies who, I'm just going to say, outsource their chip production to one of only a handful of companies, mainly TSMC, which is essentially a global monopoly when it comes to making chips, to save money, now are super mad that their monopoly-based globalization plan failed. Although I did see today that Intel says it's in talks to start producing chips for car makers, which also kind of made me laugh because Intel was like, we have a plan, finally. We have a thing. We can do this for you. We missed mobile. We didn't do a good job with that. We didn't get on the GPU bandwagon. We didn't do that. We missed that too. But we could totally make these car chips, probably.
Cars we can do. Cars. Yeah.
That's a big story.
Anyway, so that's that I believe is the news. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those were that was some newsy news. Excellent.
I know.
Boom. Okay. I love both of these make me smarts. Make me smiles. Yours is better than mine, but I love mine too. It's a story about after effects of COVID-19 closures. And the Wall Street Journal reports today that Nepal's rhino population has grown because so much of the tourism in that country has been shut down from lockdowns. And I just think that's cool. It's a little bit like the demilitarized zone between South and North Korea, where for 3 miles for 60 years, basically no people have been, and it's become this huge wildlife habitat. And I think COVID is saving the rhinos, and that's cool. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that about the DMZ. Wow.
Yeah. There's like one road through it. Yeah.
COVID is saving the rhinos. That's amazing.
Yeah. So it's really cool. It's really cool.
That's wonderful.
I just think that's great.
Don't ruin it, everyone. Yeah. Don't ruin it.
Yeah.
We have followed, of course, the Ingenuity spacecraft landing on Mars. Ingenuity is the little helicopter.
Yeah.
That is in, what's that? Good. What's the one? What's it called? What's
Perseverance, which I always pronounce Perseverance.
Thank you. I'm like, what is the dang rover called? Anyway, Perseverance has a little freaking helicopter attached to it, and it was supposed to take its first flight on April 11th, but because we were out and it was a Sunday and we didn't have a show, they waited for us for today. That's not really why.
Because they knew. They knew.
Because they totally knew. But when this – so I think it's going to try to in 2 days, which will be Wednesday. And assuming that everything goes correctly, it will be the first craft to fly on a different planet. The first craft that we made.
It's amazing.
And it's amazing. I just love it. I think it is so awesome.
My favorite part of that story, other than the flying on another planet thing, is that it's got a small piece of fabric from the original Wright Flyer on it, taped to some of the wiring underneath, which is super cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just love that.
That's pretty amazing. Imagine how this is
on Mars.
We're going to fly a helicopter on Mars, which is very, very hard to do because the air is really thin. It's not just kind of neat that there's a helicopter there. It's even trying to figure out how to test something like that must have been so fascinating. Yeah. I want to go to the weird room where they were just like, we sucked out a lot of the oxygen.
I was just going to say, they must have depressurized, right? And then, at least partially.
Right? Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So it's just, it's really neat. It's just really neat space stuff. Made me smile.
If you work at JPL, hit us up. Tell us how you did that.
Yeah. Please do.
That's my call out for today. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear from you. MakeMeSmart@marketplace.org, by the way, is our email address, want to send us thoughts on that.
Jangling you here are the dog's collars. They have come in to say hello, just as we're saying goodbye.
Sorry, dogs.
Tomorrow,
too late.
On the pod, the deep dive, it's a Tuesday. We're doing Bitcoin, Mainstream, not mainstream. What might it mean for the future of crypto? I've got a few questions about blockchain, which I hope our person will be able to answer. If you've got questions, actually, hit us up. Make me smart, marketplace.org. Also, comments on anything that Molly and I say. Be kind, please. Voicemails or regular emails. You know, take your pick. Mm-hmm. Make me smart, marketplace.org. Hit us up.
I had a brunch conversation about Bitcoin today that was basically just like prep.
Did you?
Not today. Sorry, I didn't go to brunch today. Yesterday.
All right.
That was one of those like, you're sort of techie. Explain this thing to me. Isn't it just imaginary? It's going to be a great conversation tomorrow. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. And Erica Phillips writes our newsletter and Make Me Smart explainers. Even our fill-in host couldn't say Make Me Smart, Smart, Smart speaker thingies. No one can say that.
Liana Squillace was in charge down in the studios in L.A. Ben Talladay and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. The senior producer is Donna Tam. The executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves. And there we go. Monday's in the books.
That's it.
Take the rest of the day off.
Bye, everyone.
Do it again tomorrow. Boom.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.